followed by the Council of Governors for TVET colleges, and then finally NSFAS. We tried to make arrangements to have NSFAS come in first, but unfortunately we couldn't succeed. So we've decided to follow the program as is. Let me take this opportunity then, without any further waste of time, to hand over to the FFC. However, I've got a problem, a challenge with technology, but rather because we all have the copies of their presentation, we go manually. Maybe technology will catch up on the way. Let me hand over then to FFC to give us a presentation. You are allocated only 1 hour, including questions by members as well as your responses, because we've got two other entities that have to come after you. So be cognizant of that fact. Maybe your presentation could be 30 minutes, then we allow members to ask questions, then we engage, then we conclude. Over to you. Can you introduce yourself?
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Daniel Plakis. I'm Commissioner of the Finance and Fiscal Commission and currently Acting Chairperson. Next to me, I've got Dr. Tembi Ntakala. She's one of our senior researchers. And next to Sasa, Poppy Ntaka. Poppy is going to make one of a maiden presentation. So hopefully you will be supportive to what she's saying. She's quite young. And then Sasa Peters will do a presentation. As I explained to you, what we're going to do is that we're not going to repeat some of the matters that was raised by the department, by the Minister of Higher Education and the DG of Higher Education. So we'll skip through a couple of slides, and hopefully we'll make sure Tembi and Poppy will make sure that you follow through on the presentation. We'll try to cut it to the teeth, to the bone, so that we finish long before the hour allocation. Thank you, Chair. I'm handing over to Dr. Tembi.
Thank you very much, Prof. Greetings to the Chair and honorable members. We will start with the presentation. We will skip the first slide that outlines the cover. And in terms of the context, we structured our presentation into four sections. The first one is higher education in the context of socio-economic context. We'll also look at the national department priorities, the medium-term strategic framework, which was already presented by the department, the issues and implications of the 2017 MTF, and then we will get into the conclusion. If we move to the slide next from there, which is a dividing slide that says higher education in context of current socio-economic outlook. We do acknowledge that formal education raises the productivity of the workers. And we've actually structured the returns both to individual and also to the economy. Starting with the individual, we articulate that the returns to education are greatest at higher levels, returns to education at the level below grade 12 and are extremely low. And we articulate that at an individual level, the returns for education are better jobs, salaries and life, and the contribution as well to the reduction of risk of unemployment, poverty and deprivation. When we look at it from the economy now, we are articulating as the Commission that education contributes to economic growth and development. Moving on to the next slide that outlined the challenges. The department, as they presented earlier, they articulated to a number of challenges that are confronting the PSET. And we are also indicating that challenges with regard to quality and repetition of the PSET particularly the fact that there are few FET colleges that have qualified teaching staff or staff with the adequate teaching and technical skill that was indicated in the earlier discussion. And another challenge is that graduate output efficiency is low. Postgraduate enrollment to facilitate transition into knowledge economy is limited. And lastly, another challenge is that the desirability and affordability of the fee-free higher education and training. Moving on to the next slide that talks about the national departmental priorities. Most of this was indicated by the department when they presented, but suffice to indicate that the need for universal access to higher education, quality in particular, is clear and desirable and for the country, as articulated in Section 29.1b of our Constitution. The next slide that looks at the strategic framework, we do acknowledge the targets that are set by the 2014 to 19 medium-term strategic framework aligned with the MDP. The department did articulate to those targets. When we move to the next slide on the revised strategic plan, the department certainly did cover that as well in terms of the goals and the goal statement that are set out for the department. That makes us move to the next slide on the annual performance plan for the department. Again, chairs and honorable members, this was covered by the department. Also, the aspect of the enrollment for the 2015 was covered. I will hand over to my colleague, Bobby, who will take us to Section 3, which is about the budget for the department over the 2017 medium-term strategic framework.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members, and as a colleague, as Tembia said, I'll take you through Section 3. If we move on to the next slide, if we move into the next slide, which is entitled Budget and Programs of the DHT, basically the table in the current slide outlines the picture, or rather the broad trend in the Department of Higher Education and Training from 2013-14 up until the end of the current medium-term expenditure framework. So just to highlight the key trends, over the 27 MTF, what we see is that the real annual average growth of the department budgets is 4.1%. And as of 2017-18, as already indicated by the department, the university education program consumes the largest share of the department's budget at $41.9 billion. And what we can see from the table is that between 2015 and 16 and to 2016-17, the department's allocation to the university program grew quite significantly by 12.9% in real term, which actually coincides with the implementation of the 0% fee increase in 2016, which followed the student protests at universities. And based on the real average growth between 2017 and 18 to 2019-20, it appears that government will maintain emphasis on this program, as it's projected to grow by a real annual average growth of 5.5%. And then when we exclude entities, specifically your CETAs and your National Skills Fund, your TVETs and your CETs receive the second and third largest portion of the department's budget over the 27 MTF period. But in comparison to other program allocations, what we see is that the projected allocation is to grow the slowest, particularly 1.8% in real annual average growth for the TVET program and 0.5% for the CET program over the 2017 MCF, which seems to suggest that there's less of a drive to refocus the priority on the college system currently. And then if we move on to the next slide, which is entitled Overview of the Relative Prioritization within the DHT budget, it just gives you the snapshot of the relative prioritization within the budget, particularly when we compare 2013-14 with 2019-20. What we see is that unlike other programs which either show a declining share of the department's budget or have remained fairly constant, the university program consumes the largest and increasing share of the department's budget. On the next slide, I will not dwell on the slide too much as it basically gives a graphical representation of the first slide that I discussed earlier. Moving on to the next slide, I will start by honing into the three programs, namely the university program, the TVET program, and the CET program. When we're looking at the university program, the bulk of the 2017 total allocation to the department is in respect of the transfers and your subsidies to universities. University subsidies are projected to increase from 28 billion in 2016-17 to 38 billion in 2019-20. And these increases are mainly driven by the additional allocations that were directed towards funding the shortfall at universities, resulting from the no fee increase that applies to the households that with incomes less than 600,000. So that would include your NSFAS qualifying students and your missing middle for the 2017 academic year. And then also what we see from the table is that your allocations in respect of the university education are expected to grow close to 6% over the 2017 MTF period. Moving on to the next slide, which focuses on your TVET program, by contrast, your allocations in respect of TVET are expected to grow by a real average of under 2% over the 2017 MTF period. And this level of growth is actually not in alignment with the policy goals around the TVET colleges in terms of increasing enrollment. And it further reiterates what the minister had said about the implications of your growth underfunding, and especially if given South Africa's skills shortage, where arguably your TVETs could have actually potentially play a role in developing the skills required by the economy. And then furthermore, the low growth is coupled with a consistent decline in the proportion of the department's budget allocated to the TVET program over time, over the period reviewed. Moving on to the next slide for the CET program. In addition to the very marginal real annual average growth in the resources to the CET colleges program over the 2017 MTF period, the proportion of the department's budget allocated to the program is also projected to decline over the outer years as it was with the TVET. Moving on to the next slide on entities reporting to entities reporting to the department. This slide basically gives a brief overview of the entities reporting to the department, and in the following slide, that just shows you the graphical representation of it, so I won't go over that slide. But what it shows is that the largest entity transfer is in respect of your NSFAS for the period 2013-14 to 2019-20. So as I said, I will skip over the next slide. So moving on to the slide on transfers to NSFAS for the period 2013-14 to 2019-20. As the Commission, we're actually particularly concerned over the key challenges that the funding scheme continues to face. The real growth, if we see from the graph, the real growth in allocations to the NSFAS have been erratic, which affects the ability of the institution to plan and adequately and effectively absorb, as well as adjust to increases or declines in the resource allocation. Moving on to the next slide, which further looks at the performance indicators of NSFAS. If we look at the graph, the second graph, which looks at the students assisted in the higher education institutions and your TVET colleges, where those two are compared, Between 2008 and 09 and 2019-20, the number of students that were assisted by the NSFAS at these institutions are projected to grow, but the number of assisted students at TVET colleges is projected to be lower than that of students at universities. And then and if we look at the graph above that, which shows the amount of funds recovered from NSFAS debtors, what we see is that the trend is actually declining between 2008 and 09 and 2015-16. And then we start seeing a slight recovery as of 2015-16, which may coincide with the NSFAS rollout of the recovery strategy and other efforts that they are making. Especially because we know that with the poor recovery of funds, there are serious implications, particularly for how many students the scheme is able to assist, as well as the sustainability of the scheme, especially in the long term. So I'm not sure what the NSFAS will cover, but in terms of improving recovery of the funds, options around differentiating repayment periods and interest rates charged on outstanding amounts should be explored and could also be closely linked to the earnings level. Moving on to the next slide, which questions whether NSFAS is actually moving towards an effective funding scheme. We won't try to answer that since NSFAS is here, so they'll be able to answer for themselves. So I won't go into much detail about the new student-centered model, but what I can highlight is that following the recent protests at the University of the Free State and the University of Venda, the protests which arose after the delays in the payments of students' living allowances, which includes stipends for food, what we can say or what is of concern is that it sort of points to the need for improved coordination between NSFAS and universities and colleges, so as to ensure that your students actually don't bear the brunt of poor coordination between NSFAS and the universities, especially because when the students protested, it was actually not clear whether the delay in living allowances were as a result of either the NSFAS paying the students' registration fees late or whether it was as a result of the universities not responding quickly enough after the NSFAS had made the payments or the registration fees. I'll now hand over to my colleague Tembi, who will take you through the rest of the presentation.
Thank you very much. I'm taking the last section of the presentation, of which most of the slides were covered by the department. We'll start from the DHET performance and implications for the 2017 MTF period. The next slide looks at the assessment of the stress plan, APP, and the MTEF budget. It was covered by the department. The same slide that continues was also covered by the department. I would like to focus on the slide with the graphs, titled Assessment of Historical Spending. The commission notes that the department consistently spends 100% or close to 100% of its total budget between the period 2013-14 and 2015-16. Underspending occurred in 2015-16, equivalent to roughly 84.5 million. And the commission notes that these were as a result of slow filling of vacant posts due to the large volumes of applications, and the department did articulate earlier today that they've got measures in place to improve the HR and selection processes, and the commission note that initiative to improve. Moving on to the next slide that looks at the achievement of performance targets. Those were also covered by the department. Suffice to indicate that there are programs that achieved far below 70%, if one can make an example, administration, human resources, and skills development. And the next slide, the Commission notes that the Department has put in place the strategies to deal with underperformance. On HR, the Department did articulate the issue of improving the selection. On administration, the Department did indicate the need to automate the recruitment process. And also on skills department, skills development, there are measures that the Department has put in place to improve that performance. As part of the last slide, which says concluding remarks, the Commission submits that higher education and training are central to achieving the long-term developmental goal as per the National Development Plan. And the Commission submits that the real average growth over the 2017 MTF period is not adequate when compared to the Department's targets. And the Commission also submits that a historical underfunding of colleges, especially the TVET, persists and raises concern around how these institutions will contribute to developing skills the economy requires. The Commission also submits that the NSFAS new student-centered model needs to be complemented by greater coordination with universities and the TVET colleges. With that, Chair, I would like to hand over to Professor Bladkis.
Thank you. Chairperson, that's about 60 minutes. You're done.
I suppose you're doing the presentation and your concluding remarks. Okay. That is your concluding remarks. 15 minutes.
Okay. Honorable Pozzoli.
Thank you, Chair. Shall I go ahead?
Yeah.
I'm wondering why you include NSFAS in the amounts that you say are allocated for universities and colleges respectively. That money does not go to universities and colleges, except indirectly. It goes to students. It is money to students. So it shouldn't really be included in money to universities. It would be the equivalent of saying the grants that people give to citizens to pay their electricity bills should be included in the grants given to the city's electricity department. And that is not done. And if you do that, you will see that, in fact, many of the distortions in this are actually due to NSFAS. They are not due to huge distortions between universities and TVET colleges. In fact, universities are below 54% of what they require annually, and TVET colleges are at 54%. So universities, in fact, the amount that government gives them is somewhere around 30% of what they require. So I think it's very important that we get this straight, that there isn't such a huge difference between the amount of funding in universities and the amount in TVET colleges, and B, that NSFAS funding should not be counted as part of funding to those institutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Kaula.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks to the FFC for the presentation. Most of the issues you are outlining are issues that were, of course, noted in the previous discussion when the department was presenting. Now, to me, you sound like people are noticing things, excuse me, but you are afraid of saying your say. I don't know what is holding you back, but that is what it sounds to me. It sounds like to me that there are things you want to say, but you are not saying them. but be that as it may, I just want to find out, in your slide number 11, you say that TVET colleges will continue to be strengthened. That is what you note of the APP. Now,
when it comes to performance, in your conclusion, the last slide, you say historical underfunding of colleges, especially TVET colleges, persist and raises concern around how these institutions will contribute to developing skills the economy requires. Now, take those two. The APP says this, but your observation is that this is what is going to happen. Can you comment on that one? The APP, what it says, and the contradiction from what you are noticing. And secondly, the other slide I would like you to unpack is the last but one page, page 15, the slide there with the graphs, where you say the last line, it says, raises the issue of effectiveness and value for money. Can you also unpack that for me? What do you mean when you say this raises the issue of effectiveness and value for money? Just put it in simple words for me so that I understand what you are saying. Like I'm saying, you know, when you put it in this fashion to me, it sounds like you want to say things that you are afraid of saying. Just say them. Tell us what you are saying in simple and plain language. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Member, Kekana first. Honourable Kekana, then I'll come to you.
Co-Chair, thanks. Just for the record, the request is that let's not meet every year as a tradition with NSFAS, and NSFAS gives us a list of why they couldn't deliver. Can't we reach a stage where you deliver it? Because my own opinion is, you said vendor was part of the pilot of the new system. Huh?
With FFC, or you came in later.
Okay. I'll share. What do you do now? Swapping things around.
Remember, we are sorry, a request has been put that NSFAS will start, but we couldn't win that kind of lobbying, so we are still engaging the FFC. Okay, Honorable Van Vestegen.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I firstly want to say to the FFC, thank you very much. I do know my colleague next to me has said, please tell us even more, but I believe it's because what you've already said is so true. And we really appreciate your emphasis on words like efficiency and the priorities and the way in which our budgets do not tie up with the National Development Plan and the long-term goals of our country. So thank you very much for what you've already said, although I'm also anxious to hear even more if you would be so bold to say that. And can I just say, Chair, from the Democratic Alliance side, we also share the major sentiment that's been expressed here and the concerns regarding the TVET colleges, the fact that they are severely underfunded and that we actually have an inverted pyramid in terms of the student numbers and so on here in South Africa. And I just want to call upon our colleagues who do sit in caucuses where the budget, hopefully, or the budgets are discussed, to please heed to the comments that you've just heard here. Please take that into account. And it would be a wonderful day for me if we can see here in Parliament that proposed budgets have been changed due to the inputs from parliamentary portfolio committees. So with that, thank you very much. I would love to hear just from the FFC, if you would like to expand on your idea that we have a long way to go to reach efficiency and productivity in terms of our education sector. Chief, I've just shared with one of the officials over lunch that, you know, we may have to revisit this thing of trimester and semester programs, because if we want to utilize staff and capital outlay efficiently, we actually need to have those classes filled and those lecturers fully utilized for the full calendar here. But please, if the FFC would just comment on where do they see the opportunities to increase efficiency and productivity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to the Fiscal and Financial Commission for coming here. I want to ask from yourselves, I mean, you write quite a number of the things that is in your presentation we've heard this morning. But if we look at the mandate of the Fiscal and Financial Commission, yours is to make recommendations also. And you do so by giving recommendations to the equitable distribution of the budget to the three spheres of government and obviously in between. Now, if we look at the presentation that you have made here, I was keenly looking for that, and I didn't see, specifically you going beyond what you have said here. I mean, for example, are you satisfied that the constitutional obligation that higher education and training needs, the constitutional obligation that higher education and training has as it relates to the budget, whether the current budget does assist the higher education and training to live up to its constitutional obligations that it has in every respect, both in relation to what we ought to achieve in this country to transform the country from where it is, using education as the vehicle, and in relation to the different sub-programs. Now, you are telling us in the sub-programs, you know, one is up, one is down, and so on. But I think what we need to know a little bit more, if the committee would want to delve deeper into, if we just take the 2017 and 18 budget, do you agree with us that there's a substantial decline in the budget that has a potential problem on the constitutional obligation that the department has got? Do you agree with us that the equitable distribution in the different programs, now not the different provinces, the different programs, whether indeed there is an equitable distribution between the different programs, starting with administration, are you convinced that the capacity will be met by the kind of program, the kind of funds that has been allocated there, and possibly also how the department themselves in this area are, how they fare in relation to what is expected of them. And then, of course, yes, of course, you're pointing out to us about the pivots and so on. But we thought that you were going to tell us there's a looming crisis in the pivot sector that does not lend itself to an equitable distribution in the entire education sector, that lends itself to the fact that skills and skills development is equally important to that of universities and so on, and that equally so the community colleges in this instance also require that kind of attention, and therefore the funding needs of this institution does not lend itself to an equitable distribution that would have the outcome that we so desire. I was really looking forward to your analysis in getting deeper into that and then telling us what, in your view, needs to happen. I think the time, I think it will help if you don't have have all the answers here now. I think it will help if the FFC assists the committee in what do we do with regards to the, in this instance, the colleges, and whether indeed your advice that you gave to government, because that's what the law says, that you have a constitutional obligation to advise and to say something. What did you say to the government? What did you say to the executive? And are you complicit in the fact that STFIS, for example, has been underfunded terribly, and that the colleges cannot continue under this under the yoke that has been put on them? So mine is really around, Chair, your constitutional obligation. Can you convince us you are still there?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think all the members have made an input by way of comments and questions. However, I do want to add just my 2 cents in saying that your presentation was quite similar to the presentation that was given by the department earlier on today. What you do not see in your presentation, as the co-chairperson is putting, are the recommendations in terms of assisting the department to come out with solutions in resolving some of the issues they are faced with insofar as the budget is concerned. For instance, you said that you have noticed that with allocation on page 7, with regards to community education and training, there is a decline there from 6.63% to 1.77%, but you did not say anything about it. We didn't hear your voice. When we say that there is underfunding of TVET colleges, and you say that the TVET colleges are the second biggest cost driver, but what are you saying about it in relation to the core mandate of the Department of Higher Education? And I think all those issues should have come as part of your recommendations in trying to assist to guide the department towards the right course and turn the situation around and allocate more money for skills development than any other sector, for that matter. We are inviting then your responses and your comments.
Thank you, honourable members, and thank you to both chairs for questions asked. With all due, I'll respond to some and then hand over to my team to respond to other aspects. I thought the question on the constitutional obligation with regard to training and higher education training in the budget and the equitable share distribution of resources for programs, and also the add on the equitable distribution into the entire sector. But it depends as to many instances, to what's the standard of measure here. What's the standard of measure to determine how you distribute your fiscal resources between different programs? And that brings us to the whole question of costing and pricing. But also the costing and pricing inputs to the various level, various sectors, university, TVET, and the others. So I think, Chair, if you want to, from where we're sitting in the FFC, if you want to deal with that particular phenomenon, it requires you to have a great sense of the what's the input cost that's required at the different levels. But in particular, in terms of the TVET colleges and also the universities and that. So equitable share distribution, you're not going to find that between programs. What you'll find is the relative cost of each program to deliver, the costing of this program. For instance, the costing of delivering a program at a TVET college relative to delivering a program at the university. So in fact, you have to look at and also the issue about the administration. It depends as to what has been, because I remember there was a time when the Treasury was saying to all departments that your administrative program has to be at 4% of your total budget. So that in that question in particular, I think requires some deeper the discussion about the inputs, the throughput costs, with regard to the different educational programs within that. The other thing that you raised is quite critical, which partly we've tried to deal with, reflect at the commission. The commission that inquires into our education and training. We confirmed what many others have been saying with regard to the structural problems within the labor market, where you have the economy requires a different set of skills as to what we currently has been the reduce of what people to be exorbitant in within the economy. So that in itself has also got to do with how do you then reject the higher education system to respond to that. So the point I'm making is that it is on that it depends of what is the standard of measures that have been put into place to help you to determine the nature of input throughput cost, but also how do you what is the measures you put into place with regard to determine the equitable distribution of funds according to those programs. That, Chair, then, I think the question about how do you deal with a question related to the FET, and I thought it's important because we just came from the SCOA committee. In fact, I just came from the SCOA committee when the other colleagues were here. The point that we would like to also confirm here is that that the FFC was involved in the processes around the college function shifts from provinces to the national sphere. The FFC was consulted and endorsed the shift, but cautioned against perpetuating historical underfunding of colleges. That's the point that we've made during that process. And we've also made a point that a number of the outcome indicators under Program 4, which is the TVET colleges, as a zero target as a result of the unavailability of funding, as reported in the annual performance plan of 2017-2018. I'm going to hand over and then we'll come back to some of the things that we might have missed on the chairperson.
Perhaps just starting with the question that was on the issue of effectiveness and value for money, and if we could explain that in simpler terms. Basically, we looked at the plans and targets of the department, we saw that a number of them were not met. I'm just looking for that slide. I think it was 27% was unmet on aggregate. But when you look at spending of the budget, you've got the department spending close to 100% of its budget. So what we're raising there is whether the department is spending but it's not leading to the achievement of targets. Is it not enough money? Is it underfunding or is it ineffective spending of the funds that they have, and that's why we raise the issue of value for money. I think the member wants me to be more blunt, but my commissioner will speak to that. Then slide 11, where the APP says that TVETs will be continued to be strengthened, but in our concluding slide. We highlight the issue with the TVETs. Basically, we think that they are underfunded. Yes, when we were consulted on the function shift, we agreed, and the key thing that the FFC said at that point was to avoid the underfunding that existed
when the function was at provinces, and the reason why the function was shifted was to bring about uniformity in terms of performance and funding of those colleges. And I think in every forum where we go and we speak about these issues, we reiterate that, like the commissioner indicated, we were meeting with the Standing Committee on Appropriations and assisting them with how they will interrogate the upcoming appropriations bill, and that was one of the issues we raised again, is the perpetuation of underfunding of colleges. So I think that is the view of the FFC on TVET colleges. Poppy, would you like to take that one?
Thank you, Chair. If I may address Honourable Bazodi, maybe if we can get clarification on whether you're referring to the line item of university subsidies, as our understanding is that the subsidies are a grant to the universities. Please may indicate the slide. Sorry, Chair, may I address that? Thank you, Chair. Honourable Bazodi, the university education, that is the program which was then disaggregated, honed in slide 17. So that's the same, it does.
Chair, can I respond?
Yes, please.
In the one program, university funding goes up by 11% or something. In the, when you come to the subsidy, it only goes up by 5%, which is in a later slide. So I'm assuming that you've included NSFAS funding in the first slide. Therefore, and that's the slide upon which you say university funding is by far the greatest proportion of the department, which it is. But the thing is, it's not as great as that slide suggests that it is. And not only that, but it's far less than the university sector requires. I think it's a problem in this committee. The committee has begun to argue that the TVET sector is very underfunded, and to start implying that the university sector is overfunded. And what I'm trying to do is to correct that impression. This is not the case. The university sector is also underfunded to a significant degree. And if you add the NSFAS funding into what universities get, it distorts what universities are actually getting.
I thank you, Honourable Member, but I didn't get the sense in our deliberations, even earlier on during the day, that the impression is that universities are overfunded. The argument or the debate was about there needs to be a focused attention in ensuring that while funding is apportioned for universities, which is not enough as we speak, but we must not sacrifice the TVET colleges and the community colleges. I think that was the spirit of the argument about how the slide is captured or how it has been written, I'm not sure, but that was the argument earlier on in the morning. We all agree that all the sectors are underfunded, but the debate is about let us not totally sacrifice the funding
for TVET colleges in an attempt to address issues of the other sectors within the DHET core mandate. Thank you. Can then continue to wrap up.
Thank you, Chair, and yes, that is the spirit of what we're saying, but maybe just to clarify, the slide on page 7, which says budget and programs of DHET, the university education, that is a program on the budget. So then when you look at the next slide, which hones in on the university program, university subsidies is a sub-program within that program, so it's not the NSFAS subsidy, that's the grant to the universities from the department. I'm not sure if that answers.
Yeah.
Okay, I can allow
it. Yes, I don't want to labor the point, but we've had some similar conversations on other budgets in the department and portfolio committees. When we ask to respond to the budget of a department, that's exactly what we do. We look at the programs, we look at the sub-programs, and in relation to that, we respond. Otherwise, if we're going to respond after that, then we're not responding in terms of the budget. And our basis of starting is quite different. So that's why we have it in this way, responding to each program and the issues that's within that particular program. Other issues, we are willing to come back. And in fact, we even are willing to share with you some of the thoughts that we're putting forward to the commission of inquiry into higher education and training, the fees issues, where we start showing other permutations to what's going on there.
No, Chair, if all the questions have been answered, I want to make a suggestion, and that is that I think the question that I have posed, I want to suggest that maybe a comprehensive answer be sent to us in relation to what I have, because you will dearly assist the committee by your mandate that you have, and how and what you will respond to us will live up to the question that has been asked, and both your legislative and your constitutional mandate in what you then bring to the committee, because we think it is crucial. So that could be my suggestion, that maybe a more comprehensive answer be sent here. Co-Chair, I want to concur with what you have said earlier on. There's no confusion in what we have said, that we are saying forget about universities and go. I associate myself with your response.
Thank you. I think we've come to the conclusion of our engagement with the FFC, and I hope you are taking note of the recommendations that the committees are looking at a deeper kind of analysis and more recommendations that are going to assist the department to work on their programs related to the budget. Let me thank you for the presentations, and you are going to be forwarding to the committees the comprehensive kind of report, so that we can refer to that report, and it's going to assist us also in our oversight responsibilities. Thank you very much. You can then be excused.
Next week. Come on, the papers.
Okay, yeah.
Pen. It's called pen. We can give you this, this, everything. The hot seat.
Okay, honourable member, honourable members, I would implore you, please, let us get started with the next session. Let us get started once again with the business of the day. Let me welcome the Council of Governors for TVET colleges to engage, give us a presentation, and we are going to engage thereafter. You are also allocated an hour only. Half the time would be for presentation, half the time will be for members to be able to engage. Oh, they like that one. Okay, you can then proceed.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Daniel Mabuya Kudu, the chairperson of the TVET CDC. And seated next to me is Dr. Zuma, who is the deputy chairperson. Seated next to him is Ms. Mleche, who is the national treasurer. And next to him is Advocate Kuma, who is the National Secretary. And the lady last day is Mrs. Mkonza, who is the Deputy National Secretary. Chair, we will not dwell on the background that we have as a civil citizen. We'll just highlight some of the things that we have met with the Minister of Education. Particularly, we just want to highlight one meeting that at least assisted to an extent in September 2016 around the inclusion of Tibet colleges in the medium-term statement by the Minister of Finance. We appreciate that particular engagement. We want also to highlight that we have made our presentation to the commission, field commission. The judge saw it fit to call us four times. We are awaiting the outcome of that engagement. We also met Honorable September. My apologies there. When they were typing, they said, "Mr." My apologies. And engaged her on two occasions already. So we've been engaging. Chair, today we want to focus on the funding situation at the Tibet colleges. We wanted to start by saying that colleges are highly underfunded, which has been, we had the last presenter. And it's a miracle that none have closed doors. We can only thank the college council for the prudent manner in which they govern colleges. It is not an exaggeration at all that we are still underfunded. This is the reason we raised the matter with the portfolio committee, because education is an apex priority of government. And we think that today we are meeting your good service lawmakers to deal with some of the issues. Funding in this Tibet sector is not commensurate with government policy by far. It is clear that the NTP target will not be met if no meaningful change in funding levels, if there is no meaningful change in funding levels, coupled with the fact that Tibet colleges must be the biggest sector in post-school education. Funding allocations being given by the DHET to Tibet sector is a clear indication of the hesitancy towards investing in colleges in order to ensure that they deliver the prescribed targets. We do not believe that the reason for financial crisis these colleges are facing is as a result of over-enrollment, as the department has always claimed. Colleges have enrolled previously to respond to the prescripts of the white paper in post-school education, and we do not accept that in the country with chronic skills shortage, that we should be reviewing these targets. Instead, we are calling for the political will to build and capacitate Tibet colleges instead of continued treatment of these institutions as glorified high schools or at least a nuisance. Gross underfunding that currently exists emanates from the times when colleges were under provincial competence, whereby their allocated budgets were not passed on to colleges as they were. For an example, KZN had a deficit of 1.2 billion in 2012-2013. This is much higher now through accumulation. The department has also agreed to this, and even our submission to the Peace Commission highlights this point. And there has not been any ratification process to deal with this matter. Whether the transfer of the Tibet colleges to the national competence with no assessment on this chronic funding situation. Instead, it was expected to be business as usual. It is extremely exacerbated. This has extremely exacerbated the problem. This is shown by the current funding model, as it will be detailed as we go along. Funding made available to colleges by the department covers 62% of all students in all colleges. 38% of students are not funded at all. Colleges are expected to carry this deficit indefinitely. Each in 2016-2017, there are about plus minus 700 students, but funding covers plus minus 114 students. More than 200,000 students are not funded at all. The DHET uses 80% program-based cost funding model for allocation to colleges. 20% is made of NSFAS and paying students, which have been explained above. The problem is that allocation is far less than 80% because of full-time equivalent, concept. That reduces funding further. Furthermore, the current gross underfunding for 2016-2017 will see colleges 80% allocation being reduced to 64%, thus leaving the deficit of 54%. As per the allocation of the department estimated in the table that we have produced, although we have included below. Based on our extrapolation of the data in table one below, there is a total of 516,257 unfunded students within the TVET sector for 2016-2017, made out of 386,112. And the total of this is 516,257 unfunded students within the TVET sector for the year under review. And therefore, what we're saying is that the above situation excludes the baseline funding, a deficit resulting from when colleges were under the control of provinces, as discussed above. We have proposed that the funding model for the TVET colleges and community colleges should be program-based and exclude the full-time equivalent concept, as it is misleading and is crippling the colleges by grossly underfunding them. This concept punishes the institutions and communities instead of management, because it's based on performance outcomes of colleges. Even more disturbing is the lack of the basis for TVET colleges budget without an approved organogram, e.g. the college day and the college week, while we are getting funded, but that is not linked to the college day, whether it's from 7 to 2:30 or late at night, and the college week that could be going up to a Saturday. Below is the HET analysis of the TVET outlook. As can be seen in the estimate, there is no consideration of the infrastructural development funding that is very much needed for good functionality of the colleges. The last time colleges were provided infrastructure grant was in 2006, and as a result, they are now collapsing. Furthermore, the centralization of power by DIET, whereby the continuing education training act does not enable councils to govern and make critical decisions, is crippling the colleges. We just want to make one example. Recruitment and selection of staff, performance, appraisals, and discipline. TVET colleges lost 388 million for staffing back to the treasury as a result of prolonged and monopolized selection and recruitment by DHET, which has a turnaround time of about 18 months. It takes too long to appoint a person. A possibility is that over 200 million in 2016-2017 will be taken back to treasury due as savings as a result of the same problem. This money belongs to colleges and should be refunded back to colleges without delay. Remember, this money is for staffing. So if you do not have staffing, then you have a serious problem. A further indication of centralization of power for the TVET colleges sector is how the budget process is undertaken by the Department of Higher Education. It does not allow college councils and their collective body to make inputs during the draft process. There is no consultation process where the department consults us, so that at least they take what we say into consideration. We are calling for that process as well. We are of the view that if we run another year on this grossly underfunded situation, of course, as Parliament, you must then choose to close all colleges, as there is no appetite to see them succeeded in producing the skills they should be producing, because we cannot continue like this. The slide that is there on page 5, Chair, is very clear. It indicates what the department's own estimations are. The average funding is 54%. In our own extrapolation, we are very clear, it is higher than that. And nowhere do we see how this is going to be rectified. Even when you go to the next slide, funding overview in terms of bursaries, there is, Chair, a shortfall, as indicated in that slide. But yet when relief is given to universities, we are given zero. No money at all. But the estimates speak for themselves, how much money we need. And that's why, therefore, you should not be surprised when you see strikes in Tibet colleges. But we are trying our level best to lead those institutions. So we're just estimating that. When we come to another slide in page 7, it is very clear why we're talking about this concept of full-time equivalent. Because a number of the, first of all, even before we go there are students that are not funded. The full-time equivalent then reduces the number from the hard count to half. Therefore, you can see where the problem is. The cost at a college level is per student and not per the combination of students. And this concept combines students, a number of students into one. For an example, if a student is doing four subjects, they will only be one at level of funding when they are two. And the cost is that the cost to the college is per student. But the funding says one student is equal to one. If you go to engineering, you then look at the number of subjects and then you calculate what would one student be equal to in terms of funding. And that is why then we are saying this concept has to be reviewed if we were to get out of this type of a situation. Chair, we wanted to say that we want you to submit to your good self that one, enrollment figures must be left to meet the needed skills production targets. Instead, funding be sourced in the interim through budget review, maybe through the cash reserves of the department, NSF, and any other sources that the department might deem possible. This year, civil colleges should be funded at full 13.6 billion that was determined as required by Tibet colleges in 2017 and 2018. We are putting before you that we would appreciate if we can get that. For infrastructure development, we propose that the 5 billion made available by the National Treasurer to DHET to deal with any matters they deem urgent is allocated to undertake infrastructure. Funding of operations and capital projects needs to be equitable in the whole post-school education sector while taking into account the historic disadvantages of the Tibet sector coming from provinces as well as the size of the Tibet sector in post-school education as per the targets of the NDP. We are saying this, Chair, because when you look at the bulk of money this department has and is going towards the universities, all we are calling for is equitable funding that should be done by the department. For now, we do not see any equity the manner in which we are being funded. Also saying, Chair, that the CITAS model with civil colleges needs to be reviewed. These short-term programs are not assisting with the lasting significant skills development. We are proposing that part of the key deliverables of the CETA is that 65% of the budget allocation be reserved to fund permanent occupational programs at all colleges indefinitely. This includes ensuring that there is a development of suitable and qualified staff complement for the occupation for occupational, yes, for the occupational schools at TVET CTC and permanently employ those educators. This was also our submission to the Fees Commission. We did not see this conflicting with either the Skills Development Act or Skills Development Levy Act, as this will still be focusing on accelerated and more lasting development solutions. Should there be any conflict to these legislation and any other, Parliament should amend them to suit this proposal. The neglect of the TVET colleges by universities led to these colleges failing due to lack of support or guidance from established systems. We are therefore advocating that we do not repeat the same cycle by leaving community colleges from the system being developed for TVET colleges. It is up to the discretion of a university to collaborate with us. And we think that is not assisting when you are creating a system that should have linkages. And that, we say, it should not also go down to community colleges. We request an establishment of the student support services. We request the establishment of the student support services grant because there is a problem there. We are not holistically supporting students. The capacity development grant, which looks into teaching and research development, should be equitably distributed to ensure that there is also development in the civil sector and community college sector. This should include establishing NSF and RSF chairs in the colleges. While we appreciate that the student housing infrastructure plan and that 100,000 of the 200,000 students' accommodation beds is reserved for TVET colleges, we believe that this is not equitable distribution. To also address historic lacks that exist in almost all colleges. This also neglects that TVET sector is a sector that is earmarked to be the biggest sector in post-school education by 2030. We submit that there must be a standing infrastructure grant geared and specific to colleges to respond to the specific needs of the sector. We are also submitting that the TVET CTC be capacitated to undertake the monitoring and quality assurance in the TVET sector and in the community colleges sector in order to ensure that there is good corporate governance. Lessons can be learned from how the Council for Education is functioning as a statutory body that it enjoys. We further request that the number of TVET CTCs or the number of TVET colleges participating in the USASA Student Financial Aid Program be increased from 1 to 10 colleges, and that the process must be inclusive of college councils and TVET CTCs. Currently, it is one college, and we do not see that would deliver good benchmarking. We also bring to the attention of the committee that councils are appointed into colleges with no budget made available to capacitate them. As a result, the TVET CTC is entering into partnership to capacitate and train councils all around the country. The TVET CTC has already undertaken the college council executive capacitation and training from all the colleges in November 2016 and just concluded the provincial council members training for all provinces in 2017. This needs to change and the budget must be made available in order to ensure good governance and continuity. We are requesting that the TVET CTC be included to participate in the new 2017 rollout of the student-centered model pilot project. We request that the portfolio committee grant us another invite to present detailed legislative amendments that we are proposing to the Continuing Education Act. This also is going to address the issues raised by the minister on difficulties in relationship between councils and management of TVET colleges. Chair, we want to end with the immediate recommendation that the lawmakers were asking you to look into. We propose the following recommendation. Full funding of the estimated 13 billion for 2017-2018, because we did not and were not getting any support as universities were getting in terms of historical debt and student debt. To the refund of 388 million taken for salaries back to revenue fund, we are requesting that money be refunded to colleges. What it means, Chair, there are colleges that were unable to appoint staff because of this turnaround time. And what they then did, they used their reserves to pay staff because lecture halls could not go without lecturers. And all of a sudden, the colleges are told, you can't get that money. It's gone. Back to the revenue fund. And therefore, it has exacerbated the problem in colleges. And colleges are unable now to keep those staff members because the money is gone. At least we must have warm bodies to teach students. That's all we're calling for. We're also saying that student debt relief for TVET colleges must be done as it was in universities. Because we do not understand, Chair, how fair is this discrimination. And unless you can tell us how fair it is so that we go back home knowing it was a very fair process, it's only that we did not benefit. We would want to see that. We are also saying that the fundamental programs that we are saying here, there is money that Treasury put aside, 5 billion, and as we explained above, that the department can use. And we are saying that that particular money be immediately used to look at this issue of holistic student support services, because students are not supported adequately in TVET colleges, hence the results that are very low. Infrastructure, Chair, and ICT, physical and ICT, there are many issues there. Delay of results, colleges saying the department has not released the results, department saying you did not give us these things in time. The issues there are systems, particularly ICT infrastructure. We also chair saying that the issue of teaching, research, and governance capacity development is very immediate because we would want to see the results improving drastically. And we think that this money that is there that the department can use, we think that if you can direct them to deal with the issues really, that would make a college principal to be focused in managing the institution the better. But right now, all college principals are dealing with crises one after the other. And therefore, at a distance, you can think they are not good managers. But Chair, we do want to say they are good managers because no college has closed in the department. We want to thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. We welcome the presentation by the Council of Governors for TVET Colleges. Let me hand over to honorable members then to engage on the presentation. Honorable Gekana, I see your hand. Honorable Samka, Honorable Kaula, Honorable Van der West Hazen, and then lastly, Honorable Bozul. Or Honorable Kambos Fogwane.
Chair, just the last statement that the gentleman is saying, I don't know how we go about it because it looks like the department must answer. I can't understand when the department say they know very well that colleges are underfunded and there is money and they take it back to Treasury. What is it now that is happening? When you know people are desperate for money and money is available and you take it back to Treasury. And you know you can't say to Treasury, that money we gave you last week, bring it back. It doesn't work that way. But just the rationale of taking it back to Treasury, while you know it is still going to be needed, and this area that you are dealing with is an area that is desperately in need of money. Maybe the department should respond to that and we clear it once and for all.
Honorable Chair, maybe I'm a little bit covered. Let me also welcome the presentation by the council. But Chair, my question is, who appoints the council? Because in my understanding as a member of parliament, if the minister or whoever appoints the council, when the department department is sends a budget, this budget process, yeah, kumele into okokuba invite zonke stakeholders so that babe yingxalenye ye process kwi budget. But now ngokundiphulaphuleyo sihlalo bonakala ingathi usithi nabo loo mntu nabo abaparticipate kwi-budget processes so that ezi issues ziraiswayo apha namhlanje zibe aziraiswa, maybe i-department ingakhe iphendule kule nto ethu ngubani kanti luapointayo. Ingaba ezi councils ziyainvayithwa na to participate kwi-budget processes so that babe yinxalenye kungabikho mali eziza kuthi ekugqibeleni zingawenzanga umsebenzi wazo. Understandably, Chairperson, into okokuba okanye co-chairperson into yoba TVET colleges uninzi lwazo zikweza rural areas apho ndisuka khona, but zizona zibonakala ingathi azikhathalelekanga kakuhle ingakumbi kule nto ine-infrastructure ibe ngumnqaka esihlalo xa kuzoba nemali eziphindayo i-treasury zingakhange zibe ziyawenza umsebenzi wayo. I-concern yam mhlawumbi i-department ingakhe indikobise lindinike nje just u-ABET as imember yepalamente. Enkosi.
The concern of the honourable member is that it doesn't look like when the budget processes or when the Department of Education engages in the budget process, all stakeholders are invited to be participants, so that all these issues that are raised here today are actually dealt with even at that level. She laments the fact that it looks like the TVET colleges are not well taken care of, yet they are the ones that need much more money because they are, most of them are in the rural areas. And it doesn't sit well with the people out there that there are monies, when the voters hear that there are monies that are sent back, it doesn't sit well with them. It's as if there is a gap somewhere and some other processes that needs to be looked into to prevent a kind of situation where some monies are said to have been sent back to Treasury when the actual fact they were needed at the level of that particular sector. So that is the gist of what the Honourable Member is saying. Thank you. Honourable Kaula.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks, Co-Chairperson. TVET College, Governor's Council, thank you for the very sad presentation. I'm scared, Chairperson, you know, these days we seem to be so much in agreement with colleagues in the ruling party. It scares me with some colleagues. Earlier on, the minister was agreeing with me on this issue because I raised this last year. And today he was agreeing with me and I was agreeing with him on Toy Toy. I wish Honorable Dlamini were here so that she listens to this story. I want to agree with Honorable Kekana, really. The department must respond here and tell us what's happening. The first presentation, this issue came out. The second presentation, this issue came out. But now we need to get the way forward. Firstly, like Honorable Kekana was saying, has this happened? How has it happened? And what will be the solution going forward? And also in addition to that, I asked earlier on Chairperson the question of saying we need to find out whether this underfunding is by finance to education or it's education to TVET colleges. That must be clarified. Is it finance that is underfunding higher education, or is it higher education that is underfunding TVET colleges? It must be clear where the problem lies. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just two things from my side. The first one is, I think we must understand that we are sitting on a potentially extremely serious situation, and the fact that we've actually seen relatively low student activism at our TVET colleges is something that we can just be grateful for, and I think as has been said, let's give credit where credit is due. I think many of the college managements have really gone out of their way to try and communicate with students when the communication to them has been lacking, and they've been advancing money to students for transport and other needs to sustain themselves. So the potential is there for our colleges to become far more violent and suffer far bigger damages than what we've seen at our universities due to the severe underfunding, as we've just heard. But then, Chairperson, there's another aspect for me. When the colleges were when the universities were asked to merge under former Minister Khadr Asmal, the deputy chancellors put in their heels and they said, listen, we're going to need so much, these billions to carry the costs of merging these institutions, and we will not merge unless you show us the money. And government did come up with the money. But in the case of the TVET colleges, then the technical colleges, I'm sorry to say, but the college principals did not put their foot down and expected the costs to be carried by government. And I blame them for that. So it's not only the department that is to blame for the current situation that we have. The problem is that many of these college principals, I think, feared for their own bonuses. And because it's the department, the employees of the department, former provincial departments, they did not show us the amount of leadership that one would expect from our college management. But please, Chair, I think if there's one message that we should be taking home today, then it's that we are sitting on a time bomb and that we should really reprioritize in terms of the budget going forward our TVET colleges, as this is an extremely serious situation. Chair, when I do disappear before the gentleman has had an opportunity to respond, please, I do need to attend another meeting at 4 o'clock elsewhere in Cape Town. But thank you very much for also giving me the opportunity to listen and also to put my questions in view. Thank you.
Thank you. The department has, in fact, earlier this year issued a document in which they set out all the various shortfalls that they had in their various programs, which we asked them for. And I think in that document they say they are 10 billion rand a year short in colleges, in that order. So basically, if we're going to be able to satisfy what the colleges say, we are going to have to get another 10 billion rand a year into this budget, into this higher education budget, from somewhere else. It can't be taken away within the higher education budget because it's very, very stretched already. So I think this committee has to decide, well, you know, is that what we're going to do? Are we going to call for this extra $10 billion a year in order to make these colleges more stable and more able to produce the kinds of skills that we need? Or are we going to place the blame on the department and actually cause huge friction in the higher education sector between competing parties who will... it'll end up actually being worse than if we call for an additional grant of $10 billion a year. So, I mean, I do suggest that we have a look at the nuclear plan, how much that was, and see whether there's going to be any over now that it's scuppered, and see whether that can be put into higher education. Thank you.
Matungwe. Sorry. Professor
Kobisa Festo, welcome. Chairperson, it's really a point that worries us. Earlier on, we heard that higher education is not funding TVET education, especially when it comes to infrastructure development. And that is worrying because our country really must move towards getting those skills, and we believe therefore that TVET colleges play a pivotal role with regard to that mammon task. Chair, it's my worry again to note that in the previous financial year, about 388 million had to be returned to Treasury, whereas the infrastructure, we've been to TVET colleges, and really the infrastructure there is decaying. And again, it is estimated that this financial year, about 200 million again will be returned to Treasury. In other words, that money should be used to revive the infrastructure for TVET colleges. I think we have got to send the point that that money is very important, and TVET education has got to be taken very seriously if really we want this country to develop towards getting those key skills that we need. Doesn't mean that traditional universities are not doing the job, but things are evolving, times are evolving. We need TVET colleges to play that critical role. Thank you, Chairperson. Just that comment.
Thank you, Honorable Matungwane. Then, okay.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you to the Governor's Council for the presentation. I think it also emphasizes what we have spoken about in the morning, the lack of funding or the underfunding of the TVET system. I want to say that we should always be reminded that the migration of TVET colleges from provinces took place in April 2015. So I think that it cannot be that I'm not disputing the fact that it is underfunded, but in terms of putting, I don't know whether the blame or to the department, yeah. But we do agree that the system is seriously underfunded. And we are happy that you have come today to also emphasize this point that was also shared with us this morning. I have a question on your point 12 of submission that you would like to be included or participate in the rolling out of the school student-centered model pilot, just to share with us what is it that you want to, you know, how do you want, what do you see your role as? Because here, unless I'm getting it wrong, that it is a representation of different institutions. So I don't know whether those that are not in the executive part of it will not be disadvantaged by the ones that are decision makers in this body. I'm thinking that as long as we have the department, we have NSFAS that is administering, there will be equal sharing in terms of budget, and there are a lot of things that they will be looking at in terms when funding the system. So my worry is, you know, the human element of it as executives of the council, whether it will not also lead to other challenges as well. That is the question. Thank you.
There is no other member that indicates that they want to. Oh, okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Inoba ndidlele ebumnyameni ngesiNtu. Ngoba ke xa ungathubisa ukuthokele ebumnyameni njengamntu ke ungumXhosa qho. Ndiyakholelwa kuloo nto ngoba ude walibiza igama lam, Chairperson. Ude walibiza. Okay, okay. You're most welcome. You are most welcome. Chairperson, I would be echoing what the honorable members have said. But basically, I'm seeing a volcanic eruption that's going to happen and is going to add more on the protests at some stage if we don't save this volcanic eruption to happen. Chairperson, there seem to have been no communication between this institution and probably the Department of Higher Education and Training. I just want to thank the honesty of the presentation in terms of the West and the atrocities that are happening in the department, because we need to strike while the iron is still hot, and we need to find them. If we mean business in terms of our youth getting their skills, we have to rise within a wink of an eye. So much has been said by my colleagues, I'm not going to repeat, but just to caution that an immediate response, and probably what Kaula has said in addition was my suggestion, that is what Belinda said earlier on in terms, Honorable Belinda has said earlier on in terms of shifting the funding of nuclear bills and of nuclear deals coming into this funding of, Tibet College, we don't have any other way not to fund them, because there won't be genuine executions in terms of our youth. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Consessor.
Chair, thank you very much.
Honorable members, the co-chair is protected, please. Let us reserve the rest of the issues to the House.
They're negotiating for the nuclear already, they share. Amongst themselves, they're negotiating. That's very good, Honourable Members. From my side, also thank you very much for the presentation. Can I be clarified, firstly, on two issues? The one is... Just walk us through a little bit more on the aspect that you raise here on the third page. You say the problem is that allocation is far less than 80% because of full-time equivalent concept that reduces funding further. Just unpack that a little bit more for us, and as it relates to, because it seems like you then say this is the problem with funding also. And then if you can clarify the second one, which is you are saying on the ninth page that the refund of 388 million taken for salaries, and you're demanding that to come back. But now just explain, it seems like you are saying that you had savings. You then used from your savings to pay the salaries, and now you are demanding the money back. I trust I haven't got it wrong. Now, then it means you're not in trouble when you have savings. It means things are okay a little bit, and the problem is not the way that we understood it to be. Just clarify to us what it is that you meant there. I further then want to say, on that same page, you then tell us this is all the things that you would want. Have you been able to establish, have you made any proposals that says that the funding need for TVET colleges, these are the proposals that you have in how we can increase funding for the for the colleges, and would you like to share with us what that proposals are that you have made? That will assist us quite a bit. I think that we obviously cannot support a competition between yourself and the universities. As far as we are concerned, the entire post-school education requires attention for the objectives that we that needs to be met. So if you're going to, amongst the family, try and take from the one sister and give it to the other one, you all know what will happen. There will be a fight with the mother and the father on the fact that you're taking now from the one. And so that one must be a no-no, that in the family you cannot. And equally so on the department side, we will continue to encourage them to also not look around in the family to see, it doesn't matter whether it's the skills fund or whatever, because the pressures are there sufficiently and we need to look then elsewhere what needs to. It does look like in the committee there's an emergence towards the fact that there's a reality that indeed there is a funding need for the colleges because of the programs that has been set aside and the fact that they are nowhere close to meeting any of the targets that are there. But more so, you are absolutely right, there are many, many colleges in this country, and we must acknowledge that we're talking about each and every, we're not only talking about each and every province here, there are many instances that we're talking sometimes in most municipalities there's a college to be found. And what that then means on the changing nature of that municipality, if we were to roll out skills in the manner that we should, and by the fact that we, and because we cannot, what impact that has had. We saw this on our oversight of what that means in the different municipalities. Are there any legislation that we have to change around the things that you are saying here? And if you can point out to us what that is and whether that will assist us also. Again, Chair, thank you very much.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I don't have a question because from morning today, as Parliament, I'll say as Parliament because both houses are here, we're talking about the underfunding of the Department of Higher Education and Training as a whole. And we agree that as Parliament, we've got enormous powers to use to address the situation because we pass the budget. It is not the department that passes the budget. Parliament passes the budget. So I think because of that position, we are able to influence powers that be, including Treasury, to look into this issue. Not by shifting the funds around within the department, but by trying to find ways and means where they are going to get the money to fund, particularly the TVET sector of the Department of Higher Education. At some stage in the NCOP, we suggested that the problems of TVET colleges are so many. What we're discussing here is just the tip of the iceberg. So we suggested that there has to be TVET enough. When we converge and discuss the issues and seek solutions and invite all the other stakeholders as the department may deem fit in order to address this, the challenges of this critical sector of the Department of Higher Education. And I want to believe that the department is going to take that forward, because we are all together in it. It's not the case of us and them. We are all in it. We are public representatives. If things don't go well, it affects us directly as members of parliament. So we cannot say it is the department. We also have to play our own role as parliament to ensure that we support the department to perform better and all the sectors that are under the department. So I just wanted to make that comment as to say that I'm not going to be asking questions, because some of the things that you are raising here are very concerning. When the agreements that are made in good faith and they're not honored thereafter, it is a problem. But how do we then go back to the department and say, honor this agreement, knowing very well that they're not going to get money from anywhere else? So that is why I say maybe it's an issue that needs a focused attention, where we're going to converge, sit and discuss, invite all the stakeholders, prospective sponsors, the private sector, to come to our aid to see if you cannot actually take these processes forward in a manner that does not compromise the TVET colleges. That would be my comment. Let me then allow the department, because most of the questions can be responded to by the department, and those that you can respond to, you can. But I think the department can assist us in this. Thank you.
No, co-chairs, thank you very much. Firstly, let me welcome the presentation by the TVET CGC. And I think, as both the chairs have summarized, it's no use, going back in terms of dealing with each issue one by one, because I think we all have one for the whole day, that this whole sector is under challenge. But there were two or three things that required specific clarification. Now, it's correct that we took over on the 1st of April 2015. It is correct that there was an over expenditure. So when we speak about under expenditure, we must at the same time speak also of over expenditure. There was an over expenditure of 144 million by 25 colleges. So if we've got to go and find the money, that's where we will have to go. And there was an under expenditure of 322 million for 25 colleges. So the net effect was 179 million. But it's correct that the under expenditure was no fault of the colleges themselves. So that's correct. The problem was that we had just migrated with systems from colleges themselves, and that the whole system of moving 18,000 employees into the payroll of the department meant that we could not track HR expenditure on a month-to-month basis. So it's correct that these funds were allocated and were to be used for HR. It's also correct that in terms of the CET Act, this allocation does belong to the colleges and that we needed to give it back. However, we had a substantive legal difference with National Treasury. National Treasury said that, because remember, 2015 was the first time that this came onto the budget of the state. Previously, it was subsidies that went directly to colleges or via the conditional grant. We took the matter up with the minister and the DG, with the DG of National Treasury and the Minister of Finance. Obviously, as members have said, that Parliament had voted finally on the appropriations. So what went passed under 2015-16 was gone. But in our books, we will always remember that there were sacrifices that were made by particular colleges. And when we get more money, we will try to rectify that. We can't go and fetch money. But, Chairperson, what I must say is that I signed personally in March payments, advices to colleges, and I think TVSCGC does not have this information, that for 2016-17 we returned every cent that was unspent to colleges. In fact, Parliament, we came to Parliament and Parliament itself approved an appropriate adjustment appropriation. 200 million rand was moved from compensation of employees to transfers, and that money was transferred to colleges. So I would be able to make that information available to the TVCGC, college by college, in terms of a reconciliation. We'll find that the total difference for 2016-17 is out of the 8 or 9 billion rand, it was 1.4 million rand that couldn't be allocated or spent. However, we still transferred that 1.4 billion rand to those colleges that were impacted the worst in 2015-16. So that is in terms of that particular issue. In fact, this past financial year, it was a 200 million that we sent, and then we sent an additional 125 million rand back to colleges in terms of their expenditure. So no money was returned to National Treasury in 2016-17. In regards to participation in the budgeting processes, Chairperson, you will recall that in the estimates of national expenditure, and that's part of a problem that we may have to sort out, is National Treasury earmarks the subsidies. We can't touch it as a department. We can't take 1 cent out of subsidies, whether it's universities or whether it's colleges. Now, that's earmarked. And so, therefore, within the department, we won't be able to shift money. The only money we can shift is the funds that we have, the 355 million rand for operational purposes. But that means closing down the department. Secondly, the budgeting process of TVET colleges is governed by the CET Act. And in terms of the CET Act, there's a distribution mechanism called the National Norms and Standards for TVET funding. And funding is allocated on an equitable basis in regards to that formula. No college will get more or less based on the issue of that formula. However, I must specify one particular issue around that. There is no equity between provinces. And that's of concern to us. However, what we understand is, because this is what we inherited, there are some colleges that have, provinces that had allocated much more money than other provinces. So if you work it out on an equitable basis, you'd find Gauteng and the Western Cape and we're quite generous. But we also said we can't tamper with that now, because the unintended consequences of that is that people will start losing their jobs if we move money from under-resourced colleges that found themselves in that particular issue. But clearly, that's the only way that we can solve the problem is let's bring more money in, and if more money comes in, we can deal with the equity issues. In regards to, so the budgeting process, I mean, we have a very good relationship with the TVSCGC, and if any communication that is requested from us, we have responded. So I don't think that there's been a breakdown in any communications. I think they're aware of our particular position, and if they're not, they could say that we do not communicate. But a lot of the information that they have been able to provide is from open, transparent information that we were willing to share with the TVCGC as well as with the Fees Commission. So I'm not disputing the particular. We even supported that money that we had. As this morning, as we reported, we transferred 45 million rand to ETDB CETA, as the CFO had mentioned. We even supported ETDB CETA supporting the TVCGC in terms of building their capacity, as they indicated in their report. It was funds, indirectly, it's college funds. I think I've covered all the questions that was particularly raised. Yeah, thank you very much.
Let me hand over then to the council.
Chair, I will answer some and my colleagues will answer. I just want to say that